Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. First, imagine the joy and privilege and honor of having twin sons. Then imagine the double devastation of not one, but both of them being diagnosed with an incredibly rare genetic disorder considered terminal and incurable. But there is hope. And there is a fundraiser coming up January 13th at Loopy's in Chippewa Falls. Tonight, the story of Dustin and Aaron Binder and their twin 12-year-old sons, Grady and Jace, on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. We begin with WEAU TV13's coverage of this story from mid-November, where Daniel Gomez talked about the fact that there could be a reason to be hopeful for the future of Grady and Jace Binder of Eau Claire.
Everyone says they're sweet boys, and they are really sweet.
Aaron and Dustin Binder say their sons were diagnosed with PCAN earlier this year. That stands for pentothenate kinase associated neurodegeneration. The genetic disorder is incurable and even considered terminal. As Jason Grady's parents, the diagnosis is difficult.
Speechless.
Devastation. I don't know. I kind of expected maybe not something quite as cruel of a disease. I didn't think it would be something so
incurable.
The Binders flew out to Oregon to meet with Dr. Susan Hayflick. She has studied the rare genetic disorder for three decades.
It affects a deep structure in the brain that is important for controlling movement. It gets in the way of the person walking and reaching for a spoon and their food.
I feel like nine on is kind of when we saw a lot more changes with more dystonia in their hands, the contractions.
The boys undergo physical therapy, and the family even travels to Minnesota for treatment. Each case is also different. Dr. Hayflick says the twins have a severe form of atypical PCAN.
I don't believe the boys truly understand the diagnosis. It's tough to tell a 12-year-old child what could possibly happen down the road.
Dr. Hayflick says patients can die from complications, but she is hopeful a gene therapy being fast-tracked shows promise.
We're not talking about 20 years off or 10 years off, or maybe we're not even talking about 5 years off.
Dr. Hayflick says the potential cure could cost around $4 to $5 million. The Binders hope word spreads so PCAN doesn't devastate more families down the road.
Our thanks to WEAU-TV's Daniel Gomez for that fine report from mid-November. Starting us off in tonight's program, on Friday I had a chance to sit down in studio with Dustin and Aaron Binder, the parents of 12-year-old twins Grady and Jace, and began by asking Aaron to describe for us the boys' condition from the earliest days.
So when Grady and Jace were young, they developed some issues with speech. That was probably the first thing that we kind of noticed. Then as they became 2 or 3, we just noticed they fell a lot. And actually, going back to when they were 1, they kind of tiptoe walked when they were learning how to walk. That kind of disappeared, but then it came back, and it was like when they would run, we would notice that. There were some delays with cognitive ability, and when they got into preschool, they noticed some issues, and they were helping get them some services to help with that. And then in kindergarten, they noticed a little bit of shaking with fine motor in their hands, and the physical therapist noticed that they, she figured that that wasn't normal, and so that she kind of pressed for us to see a neurologist. We went, saw a neurologist, and we didn't get too much information back on that, just kind of followed up through the years. Around 7, we may possibly have gone back to the neurologist with not much.
So kind of
everything kind of stayed the same. It didn't, there was no regression. We didn't see anything really new up until about around 10 years old is when, 9-10 is when we saw more falling, and around that time was COVID too, and so they were not getting services, not being as active, not, you know, staying home, so we kind of just brushed things off as, well, they have low muscle tone, We thought that they just kind of regressed that way versus something else. And then we did end up going back to the neurologist, and we went to Gillette, and they did a panel of different things, whole exome sequencing. And one of them was the whole exome sequencing, or gene sequencing testing. And that is when in March we found out their diagnosis.
What are you thinking along the way as you're, you know, first there's this thing and that thing? I mean, you know, I think people a lot of times have optimism and hope, and they're like, well, it's, you know, you don't think it's...
Yes, we kind of had, our thoughts were, there were, you know, our thoughts were things will get better. We didn't think things were going to continue to spiral and get worse.
Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that we were thinking is obviously they're going to grow out of it. We'll just provide the therapies that they need, and eventually it will get better. But yeah, we noticed a lot of regression with their walking and speech, I would say right around that age of 10. And a lot of the medical diagnosis is like, it's, well, they're boys. Their boys are just clumsy in general, and they'll eventually grow out of it. And obviously we're here today and with her recent diagnosis.
Aaron Binder explains more of what Pecan does.
It causes iron to accumulate in their brain and in the motor function part of their brain. With that, it brings on the falling. A lot of people notice falling right away. There are different types of it, kind of. One is a classic, and that is for the younger kids. Some kids, when they're in toddlers, they don't end up walking right away. They have delays further out and may not even end up walking. A lot of them sometimes don't end up talking either. And their regressions are a lot faster. A lot of them don't make it to be 10 years old.
What are 12-year-old Grady and Jace like? What do they like to do?
Yeah, I mean, they're typical boys. Obviously, they love video games. They like playing outside when they're able. Obviously, they're not into playing sports just because of their motor function delays and abilities to do that. But yeah, love Legos. They love playing with other kids, their cousins, just your typical boys.
I asked Aaron and Dustin Binder how they got the diagnosis this past spring and how it hit them.
So I got a call from the genetic counselor at Gillette.
And where's Gillette?
In Minnesota.
Okay. It's a hospital or a clinic? Or
hospital. Gillette, yeah. Okay. Gillette Children's Hospital is where we went for the genetic testing. And so I heard from the genetic counselor. She talked to me. She called me on March 1st and told me there was this possibility of having Dustin and I both carried the mutation of the Pecan gene, and that would possibly be their diagnosis. There was another possible gene thing going on too, so they wanted to verify through MRI with both of them, and we had the MRI done it later in March, which showed the classic sign, the eye of the tiger sign. That is what the iron buildup in the brain is. So yeah. They told us things that happen, the like the unable to walk, unable to eat, talk. Those are things that fall in line with Pecan to the point of the end of life. There was a couple categories. There's a classic, which happens really fast, and there's an atypical, which kids can get it, or even adults can get it later on in life. 30s to 50s is what the adults is, and then there's like a juvenile age, which is kind of 10, where some kids don't even have symptoms until 10, 12 years old, and they just kind of start falling, and people, like their families, don't really know what's going on. And till they get that genetic testing done. So yeah, there's different types. They don't know the expectancy. They can't, because it's so rare. It's one to three in a million. So they can't predict. Everybody's symptoms are different when they come, and they can't predict when and how. They believe that our boys have a more severe atypical form versus the classic or the regular atypical. And they've mentioned that they think that there will be some regressions within the next 1 to 3 years. It's kind of what they gave us.
Dustin Binder says,
we've even seen, just like I say, in the past few years, the regression. Speech in particular and their motor functions with their ability to walk has really been affected over the last few years. Their eating ability, being able to chew. So obviously we cut the food up in smaller pieces and made some changes on that end. And like I said, the Gillette's Children's Hospital, they've been a very, very good supportive facility. Getting to better understand this disease. Obviously, we went into it not knowing what this was. They've had a lot of support, just better understanding on what this disease can do.
But still, amidst it all, Dustin Binder says,
we're very hopeful. We're very, very hopeful that there's a cure out there.
Aaron Binder updates on the progress being made toward finding a cure for pecan.
So far, Dr. Hayflick from Oregon, OHSU, she was actually working on a therapy called COI-Z, and that she sent to the FDA, was supposed to send to the FDA just recently, and that is, they kind of called it like a vitamin metabolite, like something very safe. They trialed it, and it went through everything. So we're waiting on that process for that. That she thought that the least it would do would help slow progression. But in that time, she has also been able to collaborate with University of Massachusetts, and they, with their expertise in gene therapy, and her expertise in pecan, they will be able to try to get something fast-paced for gene therapy for pecan.
Yeah, and I mean, the cost to go through this process is very substantial. They're looking at trying to fast-track this gene therapy, and it will be millions of dollars to get it through that process. To put it into human consumption. They're trying to do it in three stages. I believe it's the first million and a half. They're trying to get it to human consumption, and then FDA approval, and then actual consumption, like actually making doing the gene therapy.
So do you have insurance?
As of right now, there would be, unless it's FDA approved, mm-hmm. insurance would not cover it.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have insurance through my work provider, and we do have medical assistance from Eau Claire County, mm-hmm. Just with Grady and Jace's medical expenses, which are very, very expensive just to go through.
While millions of dollars are needed to help fund the research to move toward a cure for pecan, the Binders, alongside other families who are facing pecan diagnoses in the U.S., are trying to raise whatever funds they can. On their GoFundMe page, the Binders have raised $12,537 toward a goal of $250,000. And the fundraiser we mentioned earlier at Loopy's in Chippewa Falls on Saturday, January 13th, is looking for 72 different cornhole teams to take part in a competition. $40 registration fee per team if registered by January 12th, and only $45 per team if you register on January 13th, the day of the event, and a great way to raise funds to help the Binders in this cause.
Yeah, I mean, all pecan families are gathering together to try to get the donations, GoFundMe, any type of monetary or any type of donations that they can use for raffles or drawings or something like that to try to drum up some funding for this disease. As well as OHSU, they have a foundation out in Oregon as well that they are putting money towards this research. I believe UMass is kind of doing the same thing. So there's foundations out there.
So with all of this in mind, we'd love to see as many of you as possible attend the Loopy's fundraiser Saturday, January 13th at Loopy's in Chippewa Falls.
Yeah, so on January 13th, we're going to be having a fundraising event. It's a beanbag tournament as well as a silent auction. So we've had multiple businesses provide some silent auction items that we will be having at Loopy's on January 13th in the dome. Like I say, having a beanbag tournament, we're limited to 72 teams. Proceeds will be, a portion of the proceeds will be going to fight PCAN. And a lot of the community has been very, very supportive of this. I really want to give a shout out to Loopy's for providing the dome, the building itself to have this tournament. They are very supportive of it. And we're asking the community to help as much as possible.
Aaron Bender tells us how to sign up for the Miracles for Grady and Jace fundraiser January 13th at Loopy's in Chippewa Falls.
If you go to the Facebook on Loopy's page, there will be a link that you can go to sign up for the tournament.
Any idea how many teams you have currently?
I think a lot of people can sign up. They can sign up the day of. So if you're able to sign up earlier, it's like $5 cheaper. Right. Otherwise, sign up when you get there too. So I feel like a lot of people are they're coming, but they're waiting to sign up.
Again, the story of Dustin and Aaron Bender and their twin 12-year-old sons, Grady and Jace, on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week on WWIV and WOGO, as this family and these boys fight this rare genetic disorder of PCAN. Again, you can sign up for the Loopy's fundraiser. Go to the Loopy's Facebook page, scroll down. They had a post a few days ago, Miracles for Grady and Jace fundraiser. You can click on there and register your cornhole team for just $40. It goes to $45 per team on January 13th, the day of the event. Also, at GoFundMe, you can support the cause, Miracles for Grady and Jace. Again, add to the monies already raised. They've got to, with other pecan families, raise millions of dollars. Our thanks to Aaron and Dustin Bender for joining us for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson.